conducting an interview today for the JCC Family History Project. Today is October 14th, 1990, and I would like to present Sarah Morgulin and Rose Hummel, who have consented to share their recollections with us today. Let's start with Ms. Hummel. And Sarah, you can join in, whatever. Would you please give us your name and address and your parents' name?
This is Rose Snyder Hummel. I was born in Louisville, 1915. My parents were Sarah Waldman Snyder. My father was Morris Snyder, who was a kosher butcher. My neighborhood was primarily a mixture of Jewish and Italian when I was a child. All up and down, we lived on Walnut Street, East Walnut, between Preston and Floyd Streets. Preston Street starting roughly at Market and southward to past Madison were all Jewish merchants on both sides of the street. At that time, we had maybe four kosher butchers right on Preston, so you know I was brought up in a religious, observant manner. In those days, now I'm going back to, I was born in 1915, but when I was a small child, all of the establishments were closed on the Sabbath and on holidays. I had an uncle whose name was Abraham Waldman, whose store was where the Louisville Medical School is now on Preston. My father's buildings were across the street where the University of Louisville Dental School is now. The home that I was born in and that my mother died in is now the scene of a University of Louisville research laboratory on Walnut. The Louisville Talmud Torah, the Hebrew school, was two blocks away from where we lived. In those days, you went to school within walking distance. Now, there was a Waterman department store on Preston, and on East Jefferson, going to the west, were Jewish produce merchants and fish markets, like George Siegel's fish market was up there. And Mr. Feitelson had a Jewish deli around the corner on Jefferson Street from Preston. Now, my parents came to this country through Boston, not Ellis Island, and settled in Manchester, New Hampshire at first, where my aunt and uncle, Rose and Joseph Fine, had settled. But that was in 1903 when my dad came. My mother came in 1905 through the underground in Russia, because Jews were not given exit visas. Paid peasants to let them sleep in barns, came steerage from Liverpool, England, and after being in Manchester, where my oldest sister, Goldie Snyder Miller, was born, had two uncles here, Abraham Waldman and Eli Waldman, who talked the two sisters into coming to Kentucky. How they ever got here, I don't know, to be with the rest of the family. Right now, I'll rest and let Sarah, unless you have other questions
you
want
to
answer.
You're doing just fine.
Okay.
Sarah,
go ahead.
I was born in Louisville, Kentucky, at the Jewish hospital. My family came through Chicago first. We had an aunt there, Mrs. Binder, who later came here and had the delicatessen, Binder's delicatessen.
When were you born?
I was born in 1914, and she's younger than me. We originally came to Chicago because Mrs. Binder was my grandmother's sister, and that was where they came. But they couldn't find work, and my grandfather had nephews here. Bass, his name was Abe Bass. My grandmother's name was Fridge Bratsky Bass. And my mother's name was Celia Bass Goldberg. My father was Abe Goldberg. My mother had one sister who was Rebecca, or Becky, who later married Alec Bierman, and one brother, Joe Bass, who then later, when he grew up, married Anna Nash. Now, as I started to say, my grandfather and his family came here because he had nephews here who had worked for him, who said he could find a job. My father was a shoemaker, and then he went into shoe repairing. His place was on, was it South Preston and Breckenridge? South Preston, and that's, yeah, that's correct. And when I was born, that's where we lived. No, I think we lived upstairs from Linker's Bakery on Market Street on the third floor. Ruth Linker Handmaker lived on the second floor in her family, and my family lived on the third floor. Then we moved to Preston Street. And that's all I can think of.
Tell us more, Rose. Maybe about your parents or your grandparents.
Well,
in those days in Louisville.
My grandmother was brought over to this country. Her name was Fagus Waldman, and came over to this country when I was about 10 years old and lived with us.
Where was she from?
She was from a village called Tichin in Russia. My father was from a village called Antonivka, not Anatevka,
okay.
But it was about maybe 30 miles from Tichin. But there were a few Jewish families in each settlement. But in those days, the houses, now what Jewish people or Yiddish-speaking people have heard as a shtieb, they figure is a house. It isn't. It's a Yiddish word for stable, because the livestock in Russia were kept in the back part of the home where they lived, maybe a wall in between. I know that there was very rough times and a lot of privation, but my parents never spoke that much about what went on in the Russian years. All that I know is that my mother and father's first child was a year old when he died of, I think, of whooping cough in Russia. Now, I'm one of nine children. I had five brothers and three sisters. There are four of us left. We all attended elementary school at Thomas Jefferson School at Jackson and Walnut. But the center, or the old YMHA as we called it, was the focal point of all activities. There was gym, and was a Blanche Mitchell had a dancing school on the first floor of the old building, and you always felt so welcome. We treated it almost like a home. You didn't have to show membership cards. You didn't have to go through a lot of ritual, but everybody was welcome. And at the time that I was a young teenager, possibly preteen, Ronetta Mayer was in charge of girls' activities here. And my sister-in-law, Jerry Simon Snyder, brother-in-law, Morris Grossman, was general secretary here at one time. And Harry Cohn was an athletic director. We had a girls' basketball team, which Sarah Morgan and I were both on, and we really dressed according to the Nike things and the Air Jordan shoes. We wore pearls, we wore earrings, but we had a great time and balloon, and then we all took gym with Emily Watson-Barn. And this is something, maybe they'll edit, but what really gets to me is when they built this new magnificent edifice, which the remodeling, or whatever y'all called it, my nephew Marty Snyder was co-chairman of, but they thought it was a little bit old-fashioned or maybe passe to put the running track up on top like we had at the old YMHA in the gym. You had a lap track. Then, I don't know what it cost y'all, maybe $30,000, decided to add that track here when they remodeled. But then we had summer camp up at Harrods Creek, close to Harrods Creek. Ronetta Mayer, we had a contest for the name, but Tapawingo was the Indian name with the kosher kitchen. We had Tapawingo. I was a junior counselor at one time. We had rowboats. We swam in the then clean Ohio River, but the 37 flood wiped the premises out, and that's when they went up to Otter Creek, I think is what they called it. But everybody in my family participated in sports. My son, Kenneth Hummel, was on the national championship basketball team for the Jewish Centers, and I guess it was in 1967 or 68 that they won. And that's, I'm running a little bit out unless you have
a
question.
No. You mentioned the 37 flood.
Yes.
I wasn't around then. What happened with the Jewish community in 1937? What part of town were they living in, and did that flood? And
it affected practically everyone, because in 37, I still, and my The unmarried members of the family still lived at Preston and Walnut. By that time, a lot of people had moved out, and they jokingly used to call the Jewish Highlands around Chestnut Street and Broadway, because the Jewish areas in the near West End were from about 12th to 13th and Market, from Market Street down to possibly Walnut or Cedar. And then the downtown was Chestnut and Madison and Gray Street, from, say, First Street east to maybe Shelby. But we,
wouldn't you say at one time every Jewish person in Bethel lived on one of those streets before
yes,
they finally
lived? Yes, every Jewish person, although we used to call them now, I'm not being racist or smart alecky, but we called them the Deutsch. These were temple members, and they were the first ones who disassociated themselves. I mean, they moved to the lower highlands. At that time, that was Willow and Hepburn and Behringer. I mean, nobody went past Douglas. I mean, Eastern Parkway. Uh-huh. Now, I have a son lives in Prospect, don't ask me why, and Fox Harbor.
Right.
But anyhow, at the time of the flood, my father still had the kosher butcher shop. There were Jewish bakeries on Preston. There were maybe two other kosher butcher shops, and Mr. Schrager and Mr. Fuchs had shops there, but the streets were flooded. It was not from the river water. It was from the backup. The sewers failed to carry it. Don't forget, Walnut Street is only about seven streets south of the Ohio River. But our house, there were rowboats. People were in rowboats going up and down the street, and our house was built up about four steps from the pavement. Then we had a yard that was built up. But the other streets were flooded, and the stuff was getting ruined. The Red Cross came and bought all the fresh produce and meat for the people they were going to help. But we had kerosene lamps. Everybody was running like lunatics to Jefferson Street, to where they still sold things like that. Kerosene lamps and Sterno cans, you know, to heat things on. And we had a wonderful Italian neighbor next door who was a stonemason. But he had a small one-burner coal stove that he brought over. He had it in his shed to my mother's and put it up in our kitchen. We had no gas. We had no electricity, no water. You had water, they turn it on twice a day, so you had to fill the tubs and buckets for fresh water, like to flush toilets or to boil for drinking. But my mother was cooking for a family on a one-burner coal stove. But I remember so well the night the lights came on all over the world in Louisville. After the flood, I was at Sarah's house on Madison Street. We were eating with her daddy, Abe Goldberg, and the lights came on. You would have thought bonanza, you know, we hit the promised land. But it was a rough time. Don't forget, we were teenagers. We did not feel the effects of as much as the business people who lost their merchandise, were not able to open their stores. On 4th Street, when the stores finally opened, I'm talking about when the floodwaters receded enough. Now, these were backup, and you may not be aware, Frank, that Beargrass Creek runs down 3rd Street under me. They've pushed it gradually all the way to the east, but where the old YMCA was, mm-hmm. Beargrass Creek ran roughly under there. Well, you had backup. You see, from the sewers, you've seen pictures of the Brown Hotel building,
yes,
where they put a plaque up, how high the water was there. But the merchants on 4th Street, the small ones, when they reopened with kerosene lamps.
I worked at
Were you at Wilbur Rogers then?
At Fleischer's.
Yeah, go ahead.
I worked at Fleischer's at that time, and I came in, I wore my coat all day long while I sold dresses and coats because people's clothing was washed out. My aunt, Becky Bierman, and her husband had a grocery store at 13th and Walnut, and the people pushed and shoved so for groceries and food. They broke a plate glass window. They cut the throat of a little black girl because the glass came out and did that. They came on the radio and they said, if there's drug or food that you need, just go in and take it. My dad stood catty corner from his place of business at 10th and Magazine. They rushed the store. They took out everything he had. What they couldn't use, they jumped on and tore up. And it left him penniless. They took everything he had. We lived at 10th and Walnut at that time. We lived on Madison Street at that time, but we had other families come and stay at our house because it was dry. we stayed with my Aunt Anna and Uncle Joe Bash upstairs. Jake Morgulin stayed there too because his house was flooded, so he stayed with my family and me. Getting back to Jake and back to the athletics, Jake was very active in the basketball, as was his brother Morris and Gus, and I think those were the only three. I know that my father-in-law one day came to watch the boys play basketball, and he didn't have a ticket, and they told him that he couldn't come in if he didn't have a ticket. He says, if you don't let me in, I'll take my boys home and you won't have a game. So of course they did let him in, but they did play. They had some champion teams. They won many championships, and Rose and me and a few of the other girls, ladies, women, whatever, our age, played the preliminary games in our big black bloomers, and then they had the regular games that came afterwards. And then after that, they had what they called a meet-a-body, which was up in the lodge room. And all of us, all of the young people, would go up there, and they had a Nickelodeon, was it,
Renee? No, Renee Hoffman is her name now.
Yeah.
Renee is her name, but Renee Schlossberg played the piano.
And we
this
used
to all free.
We used to dance, and in those days they used to break. I got my dates for the week while I was up there, and for New Year's Eve, 6 months ahead, and all that, but it was a lot of fun. There was, no one really came on to you or anything
this
like they do
the
today.
This was the meeting place for the Jewish community.
So from all, to begin with, during the flood, you were asking about how it affected the people. Just like Sarah said, everyone who lived in a low-lying district that was affected by water came to relatives who were in a comparatively dry area. But Mr. Ward, William Ward, just died a couple of weeks ago, was a very young engineer then. He built a pontoon bridge, which was on kegs with planks, from lower around Payne Avenue, from about Market Street to Payne on Baxter. And that's how people got from that end of town to the Highlands. Up around Baxter and Highland, which was where my oldest sister lived, people had friends on floors, on couches, wherever they could, because some people were washed out. There were a lot of Jewish people at that time who had businesses in the West End and lived out there. Well, they couldn't stay there, but they were washed out.
Mary
their
and
home.
Her mother stayed with our grandmother, and they were on, what's that street by the apartment now?
Barracks.
On Barracks.
On Barracks.
They lived on Barracks, and they were there. They were away from the rest, all the rest of us were down there. And my mother's house was on Madison Street, and there were three families that came and stayed in our house there.
And don't forget, we all had to have typhoid shots. And at that time, the front of Walnut Street was flooded, but the back was Madison Street backed up. There was an alley. In those days, you had alleys in the back. Your garages were in the back. And well, you could walk from our backyard to Madison Street, get over to Floyd, and at that time we called it the Louisville City Hospital, had an emergency room set up for people to get typhoid shots. The Red Cross was doing
they
it.
They also had crazy and people upstairs, and we used to run
yes, they had a psychiatric ward upstairs with barred windows. Of course, we thought that was funny then. But I cannot think of that doctor who lived right there by the emergency room. Anyhow, he was a famous doctor, wasn't Flexner. But during the flood days, you couldn't use the phones because they needed them for emergencies. You've probably read this in the history of the flood. The radio announcer, can't think of his last name, Pete, people would call up that they were stranded, and they would have these calls out on the radio 24 hours a day. Send a boat. Pete French. He was the one that stayed on the air for maybe 3 days straight because people would call up frantic, see where phones were working, and all you would hear was send a boat. Send a boat to 17th and Jefferson. Send a boat to 32nd and Delbrook, whatever the streets were.
How long were the waters up? How long did the flood last?
Now the flood itself probably started to recede in maybe 6 or 7 days, but the havoc that it caused of the electricity and plumbing were out for, about 4 to 5 weeks where we lived. If you know 4th Street, which was our only shopping street then, they opened up the small ones with kerosene lanterns. Like Sarah said, you wore coats because there was no heat. and you could not be open at night. There were quite a few horrible cases of looting and vandalism, and some, and don't forget where I lived and was raised were primarily Jewish-owned businesses. But that time was, now you look back on it, it's really history. Don't think about it then, but in World War II, the old YMHA had a USO branch there, but they had block parties, they called them, street dances on Saturday nights for the boys from Fort Knox and Bowman Field, Jewish boys, and I forget whether it was the council, well anyhow, some group of women took it upon themselves to get the girls to dance with, and they selected them from all over the city, and would pick you up if you had to go, but it was done on Jacob Street in the summer.
You used to make plays there too.
Yeah, between 2nd and 1st Street. On the street, the whole, you know, traffic would be blocked off. It wasn't that busy a street. And they had a band out there, and the soldiers would come, and there were a lot of marriages made in Louisville from boys who were stationed out there and girls who lived there. In fact, my friend Sarah Margolin here had what we called a junior USO. These were people that were like the YMHA. These people ran a place for anybody that didn't have any place to go. If there'd be a bulletin up, invite a soldier or stranger for the holidays, the Jewish holidays, they would put their names in.
Yes,
your parents too. I'm sorry. Yeah, Mary and Pinky. See, in the old days, Louisville was very close-knit, and there were a lot of marriages. I remember the very first marriage I remember, families were invited. I remember this wedding was my cousin Max Waldman, who married Yetta Levitin. And her brother Tony was pretty active at the center. Anyhow, when they married, I remember being on a bed, sleeping on coats. I could have been 3 or 4 years old. Now everything is very formal. You see, you
put
don't
your children every place you want.
That's it, see, the families were invited. But at the YMHA, everything that you were connected with, like the dances or the meet a body, our gym classes, and we had recitals. We had gym things, you know.
Sometimes we would just go there and
shows.
See what guys were
there. That's right, just go and see what's
going on.
Going on,
and then walk back. We would then walk the distance and go over and see what was going on.
And then
all the
Jewish edifices, all the Jewish religious places. At one time, the old Beth Medrash HaGadol was the name, and the B'nai Jacob. That was on Jefferson, and Beth Medrash HaGadol was at Preston and we used to call Fair Avenue.
Now what
now
what
Liberty.
Is that?
That is now the combination that made Knesset Israel. All right, we moved to Floyd and Jacob. All right, with our new building. I was, what, maybe 9 or 10 years old. Anxious Fired at the time was at 1st and Walnut. Brith Sholem was at 2nd and Jacob. Addis DeSherm was at Brooklyn College. And that was the route to go. You see, on the holidays, when you were all dressed up, no air conditioning, wearing pure wool because it was fall,
and hats.
With hats and gloves, you'd make the rounds. You see, you would leave your congregation, go to Anxious Fire to First and Walnut, then come back up to Brook and College to Addis DeSherm, and slip over to the temple. I mean, Brith Sholem at Second and Second and College, and then go over to Addis Israel at Third and Brick. But that was really out of our territory, because we were all either conservative or orthodox congregations, except Brith Sholem, but we knew a lot of people. But that was really our holiday safari. Everybody got dressed up and went. I've talked enough, I'm getting hoarse. You'll never get through with
Sarah,
my revelation.
Is there anything else you recall about maybe the 37 flood?
I got married in 1937,
okay,
after Jake stayed with us in the house.
Well, he stayed with you in the house.
Yeah, but I didn't have any children until 2 years later. No, we were married in August. Of course, that was about 6 months after the flood. We all stayed at my Uncle Joe's, and it was horrendous. As Rose said, we only got water twice a day, and my mother and father were devastated because they were just wiped out clean. And, Charlotte Rosenthal lived up the street. They had a grocery store. There was Vine and Lee Vine, Vine's groceries, Kenny Vine, who just passed away. his family and Charlotte's family, and that's what the black people called them. Let's go to Vines or Levine's. They used to have chicken coops outside, live chickens. They picked out the ones they wanted, and they'd take it in, and they would kill them. But anyway, we were big Coca-Cola drinkers in those days, and for Charlotte's birthday, which is January the 31st, I gave her a bottle of Coca-Cola. She just cherished it so long. Her father finally got in a whole case, and then she finally opened up that one Coca-Cola bottle that I gave her. She was so excited with that. Charlotte was married that year, too, I think.
I had Joe say that.
Yeah. What was a Coca-Cola in those days?
A nickel,
huh?
And for an ice cream cone, for a nickel, you got two scoops. You could sometimes get them, a 3-cent one with one scoop. And you had a lot of ice with snowballs. Oh, they were big. The kids used to open up snowball places and make extra money. I guess everybody has to know Presto Giacomo's, because that was on the corner of Preston and Madison. He's an Italian man, and everybody knew him. And what, Rosie, what was the name of that? The soda.
They did on Friday night for my family.
What about the soda fountain place that was on?
Charlie and John.
Uh-huh, and you'd go there and get a soda at night.
We called them, well, we later found out their name was Johnny Cockus, but we called them Johnny Cakes. And their family is still in business at the 4th Avenue Candy Shop at Eastern Parkway and Bardstown Road. They call it the 4th Avenue Candy Shop. Those are some of their relatives. But the families in Louisville are all interrelated. Now, Frank's mother, grandmother, his mother, Marion Bierman, Alec Bierman's sister, Bess, was my cousin by marriage, married to my cousin Nathan Waldman. So, I mean, there are a lot of connections. But really, there are so many things that, you know, that spring to mind. But when you, like when you talk about the old H.A., that was everybody's place. You see, there was no such thing as private clubs. The Standard Club was established. It was way out on River Road. And very few people that we knew or were connected with were members there. But everything took place here, or in the summertime, there was a Sennings Park and a Summers Park, and the picnics, the Jewish synagogues and organizations, each one had a Sunday in the summer where they'd have a picnic. Well, you went to them on the streetcar, out to 3rd and New Cut Road, out 3rd Street Road, and the streetcars ran, you know, 4th Street or 2nd Street ran. And I mean streetcars, not buses with wires. Well, they would have booths, carnival booths, you know, the congregation did it. And they would get food to, and everybody brought a picnic basket.
They raffled,
and they always had a dance. And I remember being stamped with a rubber stamp, because if you paid your, what was it, a quarter, and you tried to sneak somebody else in, you couldn't. But every week, and there was another synagogue here called Agudath Achim, was at 12th and Jefferson.
We belonged to that. Yeah. My family belonged to that.
See, the West Enders, originally, because in those days people were very observant and rather pious, they did not ride on the high holy days. They were within walking distance of their congregation. But they were wonderful, and everybody had a good time. They had dances and dance contests.
Remember then they used to have boat rides on the Bell?
Yes. Well, it was the America then, or the Avalon, my junior senior boat ride. And I went to an all-girls school, Atherton. We had a junior-senior boat ride up to Rose Island, and it turned around, but no boys. We danced. I was so popular. We danced with each other. But I was in the 8th graduating class at Atherton. Now, they graduated in